Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, everybody, for this very special Wednesday show, and it's special because we have an amazing guest with us, Ken Cragen. Many of you will recognize his name and his face from many of the things he's done in the world to make it a better place with Hands Across America, We Are the World, and he's actually joining us from Barbados today to talk about his new film, which is an amazing new family film. Just came out yesterday, and you can get it on Amazon and all the stores near you. It's going to be terrific. So we're just really happy you're with us, the family. If you're new to Best People We Know, we're almost 300,000 listeners strong now, and just thank you so much for joining us. You're going to love it here, and you're going to love our guest today. And you can get a listing of all of our great guests on my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. And many of you have told me you love to download the shows free on iTunes to your mobile device so you can listen to Ken and recycle all this positive information again and again. Let me tell you a little bit about Ken, because he's just a real Renaissance man. What a tremendous human being. He is a United Nations Peace Medal recipient. He's creator of the historic humanitarian effort We Are the World and also Hands Across America. He's managed some of the music industry's and entertainment industry's legends like Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie, Trisha Yearwood, Olivia Newton-John, the Bee Gees, the Smothers Brothers. The list goes on. And you can find all that on his lovely website, kencragen.com. He's also a sought-after speaker. He's a writer. He's a teacher. He has an MBA from Harvard Business School. And he's also a best-selling author of Life is a Contact Sport. He's a major film and television producer. And today he's going to tell us about a film that's very near and dear to his heart, The 12 Dogs of Christmas, which is based on his daughter's Emma's best-selling children's book. Now, I think that this is just so perfect to start the show out with, because this is Ken's mantra. He believes it's much easier to do the impossible than the ordinary. Ken lives in Beverly Hills with his actress wife, Kathy, and their 21-year-old daughter, Emma. But today, we are honored to have Ken Cragen with us from Barbados. How are you, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing great. Taking a bit of a vacation after the movie came out yesterday, but I'm working away because, you know, I always say half of my job is producing a project, the other half is selling it, making it happen, letting people know about it, and telling the stories that are always pretty fascinated behind the scenes.
It's
a real pleasure to be with you today. I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, we have to give a shout-out to Charmaine Hammond, who's also a best-selling author of On Toby's Terms, and she is in your fan club along with other thousands that you motivate and inspire. It seems, Ken, that everything you touch turns to gold, and I don't think that The 12 Dogs of Christmas is going to be any different, and it just came out yesterday. Tell listeners a little bit about the story behind why you were so passionate to have this created. And you were saying up here, you did a lot of the filming up here in Maine, and there's just so many details that I want to cover, but just give people a little bit of what inspired you to do this.
Well, it's a fun story because my daughter's actually 22 now, but when she was just 7 years old, We were at a Christmas luncheon with a bunch of relatives. She was younger than anybody there. She turned the placemat over, and to amuse herself, she started drawing pictures of dogs. And then she somehow got in her head the idea that she was going to take the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, the classic Christmas song, you know, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge and a pear tree, and so on, and change it to The 12 Dogs of Christmas. So that on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a poodle in a doghouse. And she changed everything in the song to dogs. So five golden rings became five golden retrievers and six boxers boxing and seven labs laughing and so on. And it went on like that until on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a cat. And then in the ultimate book that came from this, of course, all chaos breaks out with all those dogs, 64 dogs and a cat. And it was such a clever idea. I sent it to a publisher that I had a book coming out with, and they stopped my book, gave my advance to my daughter, published my daughter's book. I think they were very justified in doing that because they had, now, to this date, we have sold 600,000 books of that little thing my daughter wrote on the back of a placemat. And we sold about 400,000 of those in the first couple of years. And about 2000, that happened in 1998. In 2004, at Christmas time, an Academy Award-winning director, dear friend of mine who I'd done Kenny Rogers specials and other things with, but a wonderful, wonderful Mormon director with, at that time, I think 25 grandchildren. He's now got 35. But he sent me a photo of two of his grandchildren reading Emma's book. And I had a treatment that was written for a movie, because a lot of people were saying you should do a movie of this book. I didn't know how, but I had a treatment. I sent it to Keith Merrill, this director, and 2 weeks later, in January 15th of 2005, he sent me back a finished script. And I called him and said, okay, I got to find the money somewhere. Let's make this movie. And we did. We made it up north of you there in Bethel, Maine. We always came through Boston with every trip. And we and the movie came out in the fall of 2005 and still is selling. The amazing thing is that movie is now done. We didn't have a studio. We never got a network. The movie came out in 2005 and has sold 1,200,000 copies. And when this last Christmas, the Christmas of 2011, we did 137,000 DVDs. We did 62,000 in Walmart. We were selling in CVS and other places. We were top 10 in Netflix in our seventh year. We were sold out at Redbox. So I called Keith and said, Keith, we're crazy if we don't do a sequel. Again, he wrote a sequel for us quickly. And in March of this year, we went this time to Salt Lake City, where Keith had so many friends because he's made a bunch of Mormon films and now has all these grandchildren. In fact, 23 of his grandchildren are in this new film. He has 35 of them now. And we made the sequel. And the sequel, we were able to sell to Sony. Of course, after you do 1.2 million, all the studios want it. And we had quite a bit of competition of people competing to see who could get it. And we ended up signing with Sony. They put up a lot of money. And we went out and shot a sequel in Salt Lake, one of the best experiences making a movie I've ever had. And it is a charming, wonderful, delightful film following the footsteps of the other. However, the kids in the original are now 5 years older and they're in high school. And and it becomes more like High School Musical, but it's got a huge musical ending, which one of Keith's daughters staged for us. And it's just a tremendously charming film. And Sony decided to put it out in October. It came out yesterday. It's doing extremely well in the first week this far away from Christmas. But I urge people to go take a look at it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Walmart. You can get it at Target, everywhere. It's a fabulously fun film with kids and dogs and Christmas. And it kind of works for the whole family. I mean, it seems every age group loves it.
Oh, my goodness. You just, I mean, I can hear the smiling through the phone wires. I can hear it all. It's just so so great. You know, I think that it's resonating with people. Obviously, Sony was smart. Hey, a million copies. I think that there's something that you're connecting with audiences on there. But, you know, it's interesting because reading that article in the Meridian magazine that your partner Keith Merrill had discussed the show on, I was really struck by his comment, never make a movie with kids, animals, or snow. And you've got all of these together in this movie, but it's just fabulous. And I can't imagine having, you know, nearly 100 kids and 60-something dogs and then having all the snow. What are you hearing that people are saying that they love about it so much? Is it because, as you mentioned, it's good family, moral, fun, everybody can enjoy it at any age? Do you think that it's just the connection and growing with the characters and seeing how they're really doing things in their life that we as the audience can be inspired to also follow? I mean, tell us some of your personal thoughts on why you've got such a great following for this movie.
Well, first let me address the kids, dogs, and snow question, because the interesting thing is, two times now, in Bethel, Maine with the first film, and in Salt Lake with the second film, we went to locations that were supposed to have lots of snow in March. And neither time did we. In Bethel, Maine, we had to truck snow in from a mountain resort every day. We had spent $150 a truckload, and believe me, we had 1,000 truckloads of snow that we brought in so we could have a Christmas picture. In Salt Lake, they had one of the driest winters ever, and we had one big day of snow a day before we were supposed to start filming. And fortunately, our assistant director was out the next day doing some scouting, and he called the office and said, get your cameras, get out here. We don't know how long this snow is going to last. It's heating up quick. Get out. And we put a crew together in minutes, and we ran out, and we photographed the opening of the movie and a lot of other stuff with the snow that we had out there. This movie is the way it was written, it takes place in the 30s. Because it takes place in the Depression area. And we had an old train, the Heber Valley train. It was just fabulous. The interesting thing, the second part of your question there, or the comment about, you know, what are the things that make people really enjoy this film? I've done two screenings last week in theaters. We did it for the cast and crew in Salt Lake, and again for a lot of stars and celebrities in L.A. And the comments that came back to me most often are that they love the warmth of the film, but particularly they love the quality of it. Now, this is a film that's going direct to DVD, but this is a theatrical quality film, beautifully done by, I mean, Salt Lake, Utah has some of the best filmmakers literally in the world. It's amazing, but it's such a great place to shoot. The scenery is so phenomenal, and the crews and the cast and everything are so sensational. That the biggest comment I remember from those two screenings were people being amazed at the level this picture, the look of the picture, the quality of it, the scenic quality, and the story. I mean, it's a fun, fun story. It's got drama in it. It's got, you know, things that, there's a lot of drama. The kids are trying to save a dog orphanage, and much as they did in the first one, they're trying to, there's an evil guy in this one. By the way, the evil guy's played by a terrific actor named Sean Patrick Flannery, who was in, he was the Young Adventures of Indiana Jones, was the star of that. He was a regular on Young and Restless. He's best known for a movie called Boo Dog Saints, which is the other end of the spectrum from this, full of violence and four-letter words. It's a funny story. My director, when I cast Sean Patrick in this role, my director rented Boondog Saints to look at it. Remember, I've got a Mormon director with a Mormon family, and he watches this movie, and he turns it off about 30 minutes into it. And he calls me in my room. We're up there in pre-production. He says, how can you cast this guy? You should see this movie. I said, don't worry. He was petrified from this film, but Sean Patrick came in and created a fabulous character. You won't even hardly recognize him. And he is the villain in the piece. And then we cast another actor, a very well-known actor named D.B. Sweeney, in the role of the banker who kind of saves the day. It's a cute ending as to what happens, how the banker saves the day. And then we had wonderful, wonderful young kids from the Salt Lake area in Utah. Our star girl, a girl named Danielle Chicharin, is going to be a major, major star. She shines through the screen. She comes off like a superstar. It's wonderful. And we have a lot of young kids like that. So I say it's perfect for anybody from 5 to 15, and from there on all the way up to whatever age, 90s. It's just, but it's a terrific family film.
And, you know, I think that right now, we were talking earlier, I don't think it's too early. I am seeing people getting Christmas gifts right now, and I think it's a perfect time. And, you know, to be able to get it, and you get it on Amazon and have it there, and when you go to wrap your gifts, you don't have to worry about it. And I think it's something that you can look at and watch with your whole family and not be afraid, as you were saying with some of the other movies. It's so... I think people are starving for a story such as this where people can really see themselves in it and say, you know what, I can see a person like that in my life, or I can see, you know, I would like to be this person who could go out and rescue and do something good for the world. And there's so many different characters and so many great actors. Did you want to share some of your favorites? Some of your favorite scenes from the show that you enjoyed doing?
Well, the word rescue kind of strikes a chord with me, because there is a scene, I won't tip too much of it, but there's a very dramatic scene where all the dogs need to be rescued from the barn that they're in. And I could tell you a little bit more of it. And the barn has... accidentally, although the bad guys have done it, they've knocked over a lantern and they've set the barn on fire. And what's most interesting about that is we had real fire in the barn. Our tech guys set it all up so you could have real fire. But a lot of it is added later with computer graphic effects, CG effects later. But our lead girl, Danny, is a top equestrian. In fact, she's riding in the national finals in just a couple of weeks in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we had a horse in the barn as well. And after they rescued the dog, she goes back in for the horse. And she actually does her own stunt, because as she's heading out of the barn, a beam falls across the entrance, a flaming beam. And she then mounts the horse and jumps the beam, which she's extremely experienced in doing, although she had to do it about 15 times for us that night. You know, when you're shooting film, you shoot stuff over and over and over from different angles and so on. But it becomes one of the most incredible looking scenes in the movie, and very dramatic, and leads to ultimately the things that they do, because they create this finale, the finale of the movie, which is the other scene I probably should reference. The finale of the movie lasts about 12 to 15 minutes, and it involves kids of all ages, from 3 years old to 18, putting on a musical that is the 12 Dogs of Christmas. But the bad guys have quarantined the dogs, so the kids dress up like dogs, and they do all of these great numbers. And the only dog they really have still there is a poodle in a doghouse. They have the poodle, but the rest of them are kids dressed as dogs. And it's very clever and very funny and extremely well staged. We had a whole troupe called On Broadway from the Utah that did all of this stuff. And they have kids from 3 to 18 in their group. All kinds of numbers, all kinds of dancing, a tremendous variety. We even put a rap number in there, although for our time period it probably wasn't very accurate at all. But it worked great, and it's what the impression that you leave the happy ending of the movie, you leave with this great musical at the end, which just everybody loves.
You know, your website for this, I want to direct everybody. It's absolutely fabulous. And a lot of these scenes that Ken's sharing with us, there are really some great captions here in the video trailer. So if you go to www.12dogsofchristmas.com, You'll see the 12 Dogs of Christmas, the Great Puppy Rescue, and all sorts of great little videos and trailers and pictures and information about the cast. I mean, it's a great website. It's just so well done. It's so, you just feel happy looking at the website. But that's not even the movie.
Yeah, I'd also recommend going to our Facebook page, which is for this movie is 12 Dogs of Christmas 2, the Roman numeral 2, and that Facebook page has a lot of other stuff. I do a dual role on every film that I produce or everything, TV shows, everything. I'm an avid photographer and a pretty good one, especially for live action. So I am the staff photographer. So all the photos you see both on the website and on the Facebook, and there's lots of them on Facebook, are my photos. I probably shot, 2,000-3,000 photos on this shoot, and there's some of them on Facebook, some of them on our website. And I did the same for the first film. I'm the staff photographer. I get what I want.
Wow.
I know exactly what I do. And the interesting thing that I do, which you, if you go to the website, you can see it, you can click on it. Every night on the production, when I don't seem to sleep much when I'm producing, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night, I will transfer all my photos from that day, edit them, and then I will write a newsletter and drop maybe 20 photos into the newsletter from what happened the day before. And I will send that newsletter out to everybody involved in the production, cast, crew, investors, studio, network, executives, so on. And the letter goes out everywhere. Well, what we've done is we've taken that letter, those letters, in their entirety. It was a 24-day shoot or something. There's a letter for every day. And we put them on the website, and you can click through, and you can read the story of making the movie, and you can read exactly what happened every day and see the pictures from every day. And
wow,
I did it on the first movie, too. It's also a lot on the first movie is also including a trailer at the website, and you can go and look at all of that. There we converted the newsletters into a production diary, but it's also there.
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, talk about when they say if you want something done, give it to the busiest person you know. I mean, that would be you. I am just overwhelmed at how much that you accomplish. It's no surprise you would wake up in the middle of the night. But doing all these pictures, I wasn't aware of that. Absolutely phenomenal. You, and obviously you gave this, your wife, who's also an actress, has your passion, and your daughter, obviously, writing this original book at such a young age. You really are committed to bringing out, you know, the best in life, the best in people. You're really doing these things that most people wouldn't even consider.
I got to tell you, I think people ought to consider getting their 7-year-old to write a book. The money she made from the book and then the movies has put her through school since the sixth grade. She just graduated in May from UC Berkeley in California, from the University of California in Berkeley. And it put her all the way through Berkeley. And now she's one of only 24 kids who got into UCLA's Graduate School of Film this year. And she'll have 3 years there, and her account from the book and the films will put her through grad school. So if you've got a 7-year-old, get them busy writing a book. I can tell you, it's really and for her, it's a dream come true, because early on when she went, she was 14 and she was on spring break from high school, and she had 2 weeks, and she came to the set because we were coincidentally shooting the film in Bethel, Maine then. And the director, who's such a charming guy with all those kids and grandkids, handed her his camera and said, go do the behind-the-scenes video. So on the first film, this 14-year-old shot a behind-the-scenes video, edited it down to 7 minutes, and it's on the DVD when you get the first film. On the second one, she played hooky from college for a week and then had a week of vacation that she could use, and she came up and worked on the film crew on the second one. So she's had, you know, and now she gets to be in film school, and she's actually making a film right now as I'm down vacationing. She's back in school working on films. And it's been a great run for her and a full circle, really, starting with a book and now being in school making her own films, you know. So it's, and she's got 3 years in grad school. And I'm delighted. I mean, it was, you know, there were probably 2,000 applicants and 24 kids got in, and we were so ecstatic that she got in, you know, and she did it on her own. So
proud dad, proud parents, as you should be. She's going to be, well, I think she's destined for success, too.
I tell you a funny story, though. She wants to be a cinematographer. At least that's what she's studying, with cinematographer being the head of photography, the director of photography on a film. And she got there, and at the end of the first day, she looked at me and she said, "Dad, is there somewhere to start where you're in charge?" She said, "Maybe I want to be a producer."
That's great. You're like, "Hello, dear." Yes. I am an only child, and I tell you, there's a special relationship with parents, and I'm sure that, you know, you just must be thrilled, you and your wife, to see what she's doing, and to really be around you is, I think you are contagious. People have to think big around you. I mean, the ideas that you've created, this movie is terrific, but Hands Across America, We Are the World with, you know, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, all these stars.
Yeah.
You've been with presidents. You've won more awards than people could even pronounce. I mean, where does this come from, Ken? What is your real motivation in thinking so big to change so many lives?
Well, it's probably not going to be what you expect. You know, I feel like, and have since I was a kid, that this is a short life, although I've certainly lived quite a long time now and expect to live a long time more. But I have always wanted to have a good time with this life and do good. So I have been motivated, the variety of things I do, and by the way, I will tell you this, I strongly believe, I can say this, and I'm not being falsely humble, I don't think of myself as a big deal at all, but I do think that I've had a fabulous life doing some incredible things, been in the right place at the right time, and learned that luck is taking advantage of opportunities. When there are opportunities, and there are opportunities in everything that happens in your life, even the negatives, I always find in everything that happens some good, strong reason, a positive that I can grasp and make something of. And, you know, and the other thing I think, and I want to teach my daughter this, is, you know, that comment of hers about how can you start in charge or start at the top. The fact of the matter is, the one thing you're in charge of is doing the best job every time, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. And if you're always, no matter if you're sweeping floors or, you know, delivering the mail, be the best at that. Be better than anybody. Do more than anybody expects. And that'll be a stepping stone to the next level and the next level and the next level. And I've tried to sort of drum that into my daughter. You know, they don't necessarily act like they're listening about when you're preaching to them here, but I think a lot of it does get absorbed. And I think that is the key. You know, at every level, whatever you're doing, you want to find a way to be better than good at that. You want to surprise people. You want to add. I give you a really good example. The head of Universal Studios now for years is a guy named Ron Meyer. And I teach a class at UCLA. In fact, I'll be teaching in January in the music school. I teach careers. And Ron came over. Now, here's the head of one of the biggest studios in the world. And he talked about how he started as an intern at an ad agency and how he came in earlier than everybody else and stayed later in the evening and how he was just a runner and doing menial jobs. But he asked if he could sit in and listen on meetings. And he started sitting in at the back of meetings. And, of course, they'd send him out to get some coffee or get some paper or do something. But then they started giving him, as he continued to be there every day and show that he had exceptional commitment, they started giving him more and more and more. And he rose up through that ranks to be one of the top people in the agency. And then he eventually went to run, along with a guy named Mike Ovitz, he went to run CAA, Creative Artists, the biggest talent representation agency in the world. And then he went to Universal. And at Universal, he has survived probably 6 or 7 different ownership changes and is one of the most revered people in town. But he started as an intern doing more than anybody expected.
You know, wow, we could just... we could just have hours and hours. There's so many things to learn from you, and I just so appreciate what you're sharing, and I know listeners are as well. You know, one of the things that just really strikes me, and I have to believe that a lot of other people are feeling the same way I am, your humility, but the integrity and the honesty. I mean, I think people automatically think, well, millionaires and billionaires in Hollywood, but here's the priceless component of one life lived well, which you are so passionate to make sure that you engage in, is that reputation, that integrity. And, you know, it's obvious that your reputation of being sincere, honest, fair, you know, doing your best, that this is something that people really define you as and has separated you from a lot of people in Hollywood. Do you have any comment about that? Or am I putting you in an awkward moment here? Because I think that that's something that, you know, we really need to learn by, that you do. You put your life and into actions, as the story you were just sharing. You just don't talk about these things. You're actually out there living them, putting them into action every single day.
Well, by the way, Debbie, I'm getting some breakup on your voice here. I hope that my voice is coming through clear and yours is fine. There, it might be my earphones. I don't know.
You're perfect. We can hear you.
Good. It's just on that last one. I don't know what happened. But you know, I think if I got that question clear, one of the things that I do teach and one of the things that people often refer to is I teach people how to get caught telling the truth. It's kind of a fascinating subject because I have found that if you have the best reputation in your industry, you never have to worry about business beating a path to your door. And I set out, a half a century ago, I set out to have the best reputation I could possibly have. And that has served me so well. We don't have time here on this call for a lot of examples, but one of the keys, you know, my former client, Kenny Rogers, just wrote a book. In fact, I finished reading last night, a wonderful book that's out this week. It's called Luck or Something Like It. And he's been around promoting it this week and saying very nice things about me, which is nice. But I often have used the example of when Kenny would call me and ask me to do something, and I might forget to do it, and he'd call back the next day and say, well, you know, have you called Bud Grant over at CBS, the head of CBS, to ask him? And I have a perfect opportunity on that to say, gee, I called and left word for him. He hasn't called me back. But no, I don't do that. I jump at the chance to get caught telling the truth. I tell Kenny, you know what? I forgot. I'm really sorry. I didn't write it down. Always remind me to write stuff down. If I don't, I get busy and forget. I forgot to call him. I'll call him right now and call you back. Now, that has served two purposes, but the most important one is Kenny knows that I'm not going to lie to him, even on something which I could have easily done and skirted ever having to tell him I forgot. But I've gotten caught telling the truth. Now, when I have to go to Kenny with something that's critical that he believe me, he trusts me. And you build that trust very often by admitting it when you make mistakes or you don't do something you're supposed to or you're responsible for something that isn't necessarily in your best interest. And I look for those opportunities. When they happen, I'm delighted. I don't think of them as, oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, recently I did something with a studio that I'm working with. I gave out a piece of information that I shouldn't have, that they don't share. And, you know, I spent the next day, I worried about it, it bothered me, but I spent a tremendous amount of time apologizing to them and explaining while I was apologizing, saying, you're trusting me is the most important thing I have in our relationship, and I want to be sure you know that I screwed up here. I shouldn't have talked about that. I don't know why I did, but it was a big mistake. But, you know, all it did was really strengthen my relationship with this studio. And so I preach that. It's a really good, people always seem to grab on that and feel it's not the number one thing that I do. There is another area called the magic of threes that I don't know if we have time to go into, but that probably gets the biggest response when I lecture, which I do a lot, or when I teach at universities or any of that stuff.
Well, I would love for you to, I would love for you to touch on it because, Ken, I really think, I mean, it's. I love talking about this movie, and we're going to tell everybody go out and get this movie and make sure that you share this and bring family over and give it as gifts. But one of the real exciting aspects of, I think, having you here with us is just how you live your life, and the world needs more mentors like you. And I know that one of the things that you've been doing a little bit more in your career is you do coaching, you do speaking, you do have live webinars. I want to direct people to your website, kencragen.com, and you'll see something in there where you can get information on becoming a superstar too, because you teach these things. You teach about life as a contact sport. You teach about backwards thinking for forward motion. You teach about how to get caught telling the truth, doing well by doing good. And I'm telling you, I am just overwhelmed at how much information you have to share. It's another show for sure, Ken. But give a little bit of what you were going to tell us about. You said that
the magic
you were just
of three,
gonna share.
Yeah. The magic of three. By the way, I learned all this stuff. I was doing it, I don't know, sort of just doing this stuff. And then UCLA convinced me back in the 1980s, the mid-19 to late 1980s, they convinced me to start teaching there. And I've been doing it ever since. And in order to teach the class, I spent about 100 hours, literally, going back over my career, which by that time was already about 20 years long, going over my career and figuring out why had 90% of the clients I managed become stars? Why had 95% of the projects I did become successful? There had to be a reason. And I found these very simple but pretty important principles. And the most interesting one of all of them was the magic of threes. And you know, I'm gonna tell it in a quick way. I think I'm going to start with what I've often ended with, which is when it didn't work. It didn't work in 1984 with Lionel Richie at the Olympics. Well, let me just give you the premise. The premise is that in today's marketplace, and it's been true for a long time, but it's even more so today, you have to get people's, you have to sell anything, you have to get somebody's attention. And to do that, you've got to do something that's unique or special. It's got to have some substance to it, and it's got to be unexpected. And it takes, this is what I found, it takes at least three impressions in a concentrated period of time to get anybody to take action, to get anybody to, you know, turn on the television, go out and buy a record, click on Amazon.com and buy our movie, whatever. You have to come at it in multiples that hit people so that any one recipient is going to get at least three impressions. And the greatest example for me is when it didn't work in 1984. Lionel Richie appeared as the closing act on the Olympics in 1984. There were billions of people watching him, literally something like 3 or 4 billion people watching Lionel Richie do all night long at the Olympics. And here was this phenomenal piece of exposure, but isolated. No record, no newspaper articles, no PR around it, nothing. We were totally concentrated and only did the Olympics in an isolated spot in August of 1984. And his career didn't advance at all. And I know I was the manager. Nothing happened. Now, I hadn't taught this yet, so I didn't know the principle and I wasn't thinking about it. But 6 months later, Lionel Richie he hosted the American Music Awards. He was on the cover of TV Guide that week. He was, we recorded We Are the World that night. He went and did interviews all during the next week. We all did. And then he won 6 American Music Awards, and less than a month later, he won 3 Grammys. Lionel Richie was everywhere. Now, the truth is that more people saw Lionel Richie in the summer of 1984 than they did in January of 1985 with all these other things. More people saw the Olympics than they did all the other things put together. But in the second instance, in January, people saw multiple impressions. And that's true no matter whether it's a big thing like Lionel, and we had a record coming out that went big, he got nominated for an Academy. All these things happen in concentrated. You have to bring things together in a concentrated period of time and make the impressions happen on people in a day, a week, not even a month. A month's almost too long. As close a period of time as you can, you push things together, you slow things down that are happening now so they happen around whatever the central core of it is. And you speed things up that we're coming going to be at well after it so they come sooner. And you could do it in every aspect of your life. You could do it in your personal life. You could do it when you want to get attention of a professor or you want a girl to pay attention to you or a guy. There are so many ways. Because when you have a specific individual, you can target three impressions to them. But when you're going out for the mass audience, you've got to put 8, 10, 12 things out there so that the recipient gets at least three impressions. Now, that's a very quick version of something I teach as a whole night at UCLA in my music courses and stuff. But that's the basic core idea. You can read more about it on my website or more about it in my books. It really works, and you'll be amazed when you start to apply. There is a magic to threes. There is the Holy Trinity. There's three strikes and you're out. There's three beats to a joke. The bridge often comes after the third verse or in a song. Threes is a magic number. And if you apply it to trying to get people's attention and get them to take action, it works.
Wow. Well, I would say it definitely is working because it's working for you and with you. And I tell you, I am thrilled and honored to have had you sharing your shine with us today. And there's so many other things that we can learn from you and the movie and all the great things you've done to make the world a better place. I think that, you know, people meeting you, and I know that this show, it's just, you're unforgettable and you're so inspirational. What are you looking forward? What's on your next big to-do, I really want to do this list? Could you share that with us, or do you probably have so many?
In case people tune in late to this, I just do want to remind them, as of yesterday, we're out with the new movie. It's 12 Dogs of Christmas, Great Puppy Rescue, sequel to the movie we did in 2004 and 5. And it's pretty delightful, and you can get it almost everywhere, and certainly on Amazon.com if you want to go there and click on it. But it's a great family film. Next for me really is a series of mastermind workshops. They start in November. One in November, one in December, and one in January. I'm doing them with this wonderful couple, Kim and Sandra Yancey, who run eWoman Network, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
We're doing them. They start at my home in Los Angeles. They're 3 days. Actually, there's still a couple of open spots if they go to eWoman Network and look for Ken Craig, and I think you'll find it there. We've got, I think, two open spots in each of the three sessions. They're not cheap, but they're three intensive days of working on individual entrepreneurial kind of issues for a series mostly of women. Through eWoman Network, and Kim and Sandra and myself will all be through there giving the best advice and help that we possibly can. And there'll be a lot of surprises and a lot of fun, and it starts hanging out around the pool at my home. So that's the next big thing. And then I've got about half a dozen movie projects that we've got to select from for the next movie we make next year. We want to go right back to Salt Lake City and make another film, because the crew and the people and the end result of what we ended up with is so wonderful that we want to keep enjoying that experience. My director's already got a film he's working heavily on, a new script that he's written. We'll see if we do that. That's a Western. I kind of like making Christmas films. Boy, they sell year after year after year after year.
Well, I know, and you know, the thing is that they just make you feel so good. Even if you're in the, you know, Christmas in July, you just want to be inspired. You can take that video out and put it in there. I mean, 12 Dogs of Christmas, this is something that, you know, is just going to make you feel so much better. I think that there's a lot of us, I still take out It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and this is a new classic, Ken.
Well, the funny thing was, the guy who sat down, he was the husband of my assistant, was a writer who had done Space Jam, the movie, and he sat down at his computer to write a treatment for me of the from the original book that my daughter did. And he had It's a Wonderful Life and Annie sitting next to him. He was supposed to write an animated movie. Instead, he wrote a live-action movie based in the 30s during the Depression, with a girl whose mother has died, and the father sends her away to an aunt who really wasn't an aunt. She was an old girlfriend who hated him, but she sends her there because he can't take care of her. So he really wrote some combination of It's a Wonderful Life and Annie live action, and we went out and shot it, and that's how this whole project began. And the new one, The 12 Dogs of Christmas Great Puppy Rescue, is the sequel to that. But it's a lot of fun, and I just have a good time. I'm having a blast with this. It's great. You mentioned Christmas in July. One quickie as maybe an ending to everything. I did a special with Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, and it was a Christmas special. And Dolly sat down in the beginning of July for a week and wrote an entire album of Christmas songs that sounded like classics. It was amazing. She's a tremendous writer. And then we filmed it in July in an area north of Los Angeles where it was 108 degrees. And we had to make everything look like winter and snow. And we were in this little church with everybody dressed up in winter clothing. We had people passing out. We were handing water out every 2 seconds in cold towels. I mean, when you see the Kenny Dolly Christmas special, which is a classic, it's a wonderful one, we just remember that we shot a lot of that in 108 degrees in July. It was
Wow. Well, I know people are just going to be so thrilled to be able to get this new classic that you have, The 12 Dogs of Christmas, The Great Puppy Rescue. Just came out yesterday, everybody, but you can get it today, right now. You can get it at Walmart, store near you. You can go to Amazon, and I think it's just been skyrocketing on Amazon statistics, hasn't it? It's just gone crazy.
Yeah. It started out at 60,000, that was with rating. 60,000 is a rating, not a number of sales. And when I looked just before this call, it was just under 2,000. So it's moved up all of those places, 58,000 places on Amazon selling. So obviously people are out there buying it yesterday and today. It's moved up rapidly, and we're thrilled. We'd like to get in the top 100, so be great.
Well, all right, everybody, that's our goal. Let's make sure we make that happen. It's a great gift. It's a perfect gift. And it's not, for really, really not that much money at all. It's something that you can enjoy again and again and again. And it is a new classic. And I think that people are so, committed to following this sequel because, they're part of the family. And you've really touched a lot of hearts with this movie and just everywhere in your life, Ken. You are amazing. And it has been a thrill and an honor to have you joining us today. So The 12 Dogs of Christmas, you can get it today. Go to Amazon. Get it at Walmart. It's a perfect gift. The Great Puppy Rescue, you can go to the website, 12dogsofchristmas.com. Fabulous trailers, well-known actors you'll see in there, quality delivery, lots of family fun. Read the reviews. Read what people are saying. It's absolutely tremendous. And also, if you're interested in working with Ken Craiging or knowing more about him, please go to his website. Phenomenal human being, has helped so many thousands of people in the world, and I think he's just getting started. So go to KenCraiging.com and find out more about this magnificent soul who inspires us all to be the best that we were created to be. Ken, God bless you in what you're doing. It's just been such a pleasure. I had so much fun. I hate to say goodbye.
Well, I'm going to go dive in the ocean. So it's been a pleasure too, Debbie, and thanks so much, and I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy Barbados, and we all wish we were there with you, but we'll get the movie, and we can be with you vicariously through that. Go get the movie, everybody, 12 Dogs of Christmas. Thank you so much. If you've enjoyed this show, keep us going and growing by sharing the show with a friend, going out, supporting Ken Craigan's work, and make sure that you go out and you take this information that Ken's given you and share it with somebody else and make a difference in the world. That's what we're about. We all help each other. My favorite quote is Oscar Wilde, be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Ken is living proof. Do not compare yourself with anybody else. Go out there and be your best at everything you do, and that's what it's all about. Make it a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.